Thank you very much, Seth. And congratulations on that little baby girl. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 is where we're going to be. And we're going to be looking at one verse here, and we're going to springboard off of that to a lot of other places in the text. Normally, as you know, I will preach through a portion of Scripture verse by verse. But you're allowed to preach a topical message once a year. It's in 2 Maccabees. It's a controversial text. We're not sure if it's inspired. Well, we will be continuing on in Proverbs, and as you remember, Proverbs is all about living well in God's world. We need to do that. We want to do that. And if you're like me, you could use a little bit of help in doing that. We want to do life like Jesus did very well in this world, pleasing the Father. And so that's why we've titled that, this entire series, Living Well in God's World, because Proverbs helps us do that. And as you know, that's also when you feel the most fulfilled. That's when you are living to your highest potential, is when you are walking like Jesus, when you're being like Jesus, when you're living through the power of His Spirit, of course, like Jesus Christ. You know, that's when you are just, you're just like, gosh, wow, this is great. I'm feeling how I believe I'm supposed to feel all the time here. When you're doing good in Jesus' name, when you're sharing Christ, when you're being the godly husband or godly wife or whatever it is for you. And that's our goal. And Proverbs tells us that the key to living well is getting this wisdom that it calls chokmah. Remember? That's that word there in Hebrew, chokmah, which is wisdom. And we want that and we need that. So look at Proverbs 9. This is where we are. Just this one verse right now. This is going to push us off into the rest of Scripture, because Scripture has a lot to say about this topic of the fear of the Lord, which is where we're going to be today. So look at Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." The fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom, we're told. So if we're going to start this journey on wisdom, just as with any journey you go on, there's a starting point. There's a point in a journey where you take that first step, and that's where you begin. So the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. You've got to have that before you can go any farther. This is the first step. So what is the fear of the Lord? What is it? I don't want to just throw out phrases and assume you know what they mean. You'll get in trouble doing that. I remember growing up and hearing adults say things, or hearing my teacher say things, and just kind of nodding like, okay, I don't want to look stupid here, so yes. And then the teacher zeroes in on you. Do you know what that means? And then you have to say, no, I don't know what that means. Because if you say yes, then she'll make you explain to everyone else what it means. So what is the fear of the Lord? Let's talk about that. And it's going to mean at least these three things. I think I've got a slide for that. It's going to mean at least these three things. Now we see, this is not just a definition that I've come up with. If we were to do a study on the fear of the Lord, and by the way, we're not going to exhaust this topic in one sermon, so we're going to just sort of hit some high points today. But if you were to look all throughout Scripture, you could compile this definition, because you see it meaning these different things in the Bible. And so number one, it at least means this: a reverent awe. What does that mean, though? Reverent awe. Well, in parentheses there, a feeling of deep respect for the Lord, mixed with fear and wonder. Say, wait a second. Yes, you're calling it the fear of the Lord, Cohen. Okay. But you're really saying I'm supposed to like fear the Lord? Like be afraid of him? Like cower in a corner and be afraid he might stop my beating heart? Well, I don't want you to take it that far. But you do need to understand that he could stop your beating heart. The Lord has the power of life and death in his hand. That's one reason why we call him the Lord. He is master. He's over you. And just like the fictional character, Lord Vader, right? The stormtroopers respected him. Why? Well, because he could do that force choke thing, right? He could just stop your heart at any moment. They respected Lord Vader. A healthy respect and fear even. A little bit of a healthy fear has to be mixed in with this. There is a little bit of fear in that, in the fear of the Lord. What else does it mean? Number two, a healthy fear of his displeasure or discipline. What I don't mean is fearing his wrath or eternal punishment. I don't mean always walking around afraid that he's going to send you to hell at any moment. Because for the believer, he's not going to send you to hell at any moment. Why? For the believer, why would he not send you to hell at any moment? Well, you don't have to fear God's wrath as a believer for the simple answer of, if you're a believer, it means you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed the gospel. You believed the good news that though you are a sinner, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. He came, lived a perfect life, showed us the way to the Father, and chose to willingly die to take the punishment that you deserve for your sins. And he shed his blood. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And if you have repented of your sins and put your faith and trust only in what he did for you, you're saved from punishment because he took your punishment for you. And so the believer does not fear eternal damnation. The believer does not fear God's wrath, but you would fear displeasing this Lord who did such wonderful things for you. Just like when you sin against your father, earthly father, or your earthly mother, you don't fear they're going to disown you from the family. You don't fear they're going to kick me out of the house and never love me anymore. No, but you would fear displeasing them, and you would fear discipline that's going to come from that. And that's there for the believer also. Thirdly, what does the fear of the Lord mean? It will also mean a godly devotion. We read about in the New Testament how the early church walked in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? They were motivated to live a pleasing life for God. So that's what we mean. Those three things are at least what the fear of the Lord means is healthy. Awe, this healthy fear of displeasing him and basically walking godly, living a pleasing life for God. That's what we mean when we say that phrase. So, thankfully, we can walk in this fear of the Lord first and foremost because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, I want to talk about three main things. Three main areas that the fear of the Lord is connected to. And I have forgotten to pray before I start. So before I get any farther, let me pray because I really want God's help. And you need his help too. We all need his help to have this applied to our lives. So would you please bow with me? Father, I thank you very much for the fact that you've given us your word. You have revealed yourself to us. Without this special revelation of your word, we would be so limited. and without you revealing yourself to us through your Son, we would be lost. So, Lord, I pray, please open eyes, awaken dead hearts, convict of sin, comfort, build up, encourage. We all come in here with different needs, different places in our lives. So please, please be a very present help in our time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how do we start to even get this fear of the Lord? Well, you've got to be in the family first. You've got to be a believer to even have this begin to be a thing in you, this fear of the Lord. But I want to show you, first of all, that having a proper fear of the Lord and just having it in the first place is connected to the word of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is connected to the word of the Lord. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9 are up there behind me. What's really cool about this poem that David wrote is we've got these highlighted portions. There's six of them in these verses, in these three verses, 7, 8, and 9. And they all talk about the word of the Lord in some way, except the fifth one throws in that phrase, the fear of the Lord. All the other ones talk about the word of the Lord, because look, verse 7 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. And then he says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And then he goes back to the rules of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. Now, the first one, the law of the Lord. Okay, that's the law, the first five books of the Old Testament. And then he says this, the testimonies. Well, as you know, anytime someone's saying something, maybe in like a court or something like that, the testimony here of the defendant, what's that mean? What the person said. So again, we're talking about God's words here. Precepts. Precepts are rules. These would be things that God spoke or laid down through Scripture. Commandments. Well, that's clear. That's God's word. And then he throws in here the fear of the Lord. And then he goes back to the rules of the Lord. So out of all those six, five of them are clear references to God's word. But then the fifth one is just the fear of the Lord. Why? I believe the author here is connecting the fear of the Lord with the word of the Lord. Because you've got word, 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 fear, word. He's connecting them. There is a connection between the fear of the Lord and the word of the Lord. How? That's how you get the fear of the Lord. Because that's how you have a right understanding of who God is. When you have a right understanding of the God of the universe, you will naturally have a healthy fear of Him. You won't be able to help it. Peter understood a little bit about who Jesus was. A little bit. He understood that He was a teacher, even a master, a rabbi. But then one time, Peter had been fishing all night long. And he's at the shore gathering up his nets, repairing them. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, go back out into the deep water and cast your nets. Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. And he goes back. And you know the story. Every fish in the Sea of Galilee jumped in the net. And then what does Peter do? Does he say, oh, let's meet here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You do your thing. We'll split the profits 50-50. You can just stay there and tell me when to go. I'll cast the nets. We'll be rich. Let's hang out. No, he doesn't say, let's hang out. You know what he says when that happens? Because Jesus is actually in the boat with them. He looks up at Jesus and he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. When he realized, you're something different than what I thought. You're the Lord. And now I'm really uncomfortable because I'm sinful. He got it. Having an understanding of who God really is makes you have a weight fall on you. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. And what's he say? Woe is me. That means, may a curse fall upon me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. He saw his sin. Once he saw the Lord. So, number one, you'll have a proper fear of God when you have a proper view of God. And you get a proper view of God through his word. Only through his word. You'll stop inventing a God that you're more comfortable with and start bowing down to the one true God. Secondly, the fear of the Lord is connected to contentment. Contentment, which is a big deal. Listen, the fear of the Lord is connected to tons of things in the scriptures, okay? It was hard for me. When I started doing this study on the fear of the Lord, it was like I opened up a treasure chest and it was so full of all these wonderful teachings. And I said, well, I've got to just probably pick three. That's all I have time for. And so what I'm doing is I'm pulling the first one out, and I showed you that one. Now I'm pulling the second one out, and I've got a third one to show you too. But guys, there's a lot more treasure here, okay? This is a worthy study for you, the fear of the Lord. It's connected to contentment. Look at these three portions. Proverbs, by the way, has the most in all of Scripture to say about the fear of the Lord. That phrase occurs, I wrote it down, 14 times in the book of Proverbs. 14 times in one book, more than anywhere else in the Bible. I think the author's trying to tell us something. It's connected to contentment. And by the way, contentment's a big deal. I'll show you why in just a second. But let's read these three verses. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better for you to be poor and have a right understanding, right respect, right awe, proper life geared toward following the Lord. Better to have nothing much on earth and have that than to have great treasure and trouble with it. What does it benefit you if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. And whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Satisfied. You don't want anything else. You're just, I'm happy with what I've got. Satisfied. That's what the fear of the Lord will give you. Satisfaction, okay? Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. Mick Jagger didn't find it, right? Rich as he is, famous as he is, looked in all the wrong places, even wrote a song about how he can't find any. And there's an old hymn that says, I'm satisfied in Jesus. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Whoever has it rests satisfied, content. There's a scripture also that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You want great gain? The world tells you to chase after all kinds of things that you think are gain. Money and health and muscles and cars and girls and all these things. It says, get more, and you'll be happy. And the Bible says, godliness with contentment is actually how you're going to be happy. That's great gain. Godliness and being happy with that. Proverbs 23:17, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. It's easy, it's really easy, to look on TV and see all these famous people and envy them. I mean, listen, I want to look like The Rock, okay? I'm just not going to lie. Dwayne Johnson, I look at his physique and I'm like, want it, okay? Yes, I want to look like him. But if you've ever watched a video of him being interviewed, they have to blank out words here and there. If you ever watch things of all that he owns, he's got this gym. It's called the Iron Something. In a trailer, this big massive trailer that he carries around with him. Okay, we're talking like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on his own little personal gym he carries around with him. I mean, we're extravagant living here, okay? If you look at his life, you'll see that he's not content. And as big and handsome as he is right now, guess what? He's going to be old and wrinkled one day and dead, right? So will I. Let's pray for him that he will see. Also, look at all the other rock stars and celebrities you see. You'll hear about, oh, so-and-so broke up with her boyfriend. Now she's dating him. Oh, and now she's dating this guy. Oh, and now she's dating this guy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let not your heart envy sinners. Continue in the fear of the Lord. There will be a day, the final day, when you will not envy them. It'll be a dreadful day for them if they don't turn. The lake of fire will be terrible. If you could somehow rip open the curtains of eternity right now and look into hell for even just 5 seconds, you would probably throw up. You will not envy them one day. So don't envy them now. Continue in the fear of the Lord all the day, it says. All the day. All day long. So the fear of the Lord is connected to contentment. Thirdly, the fear of the Lord is connected to turning away from evil. Turning away from evil, which I think goes hand in hand with the other points perfectly. The fear of the Lord is connected to turning away from evil. Look at these verses. There's one in Job and two in Proverbs. We're going to have those up on the screen here in just a second. The fear of the Lord is connected to turning away from evil. Look at what Job 28:28 says. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. He connects the two. It's really not logical to have a proper awe and respect for God, have a proper fear of displeasing Him, and to have this motivation to follow Him godly, and to also sin. Those don't go together. They can't. That's why, Lord willing, as a believer, if you truly are a believer, when you sin, you feel dirty. You feel badly. And no one has to twist your arm and say, tell God you're sorry. No, you can't wait to repent. That's how you should feel. You should feel, ugh, this is not becoming of me. That was bad. I know it was bad. I'm sorry. Help me not to do that again. And that's proper discipline from the Lord. That's the Lord working in you. So in one way, you should be encouraged when you sin. If you feel badly about sinning, that's God's grace on you, okay? That healthy guilt, that's from the Lord. It's to move you to repentance. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is what? Hatred of evil. This is the closest thing that we get to like a real like definition of it in the Bible, where it says, the fear of the Lord is this. This is one of the closest things we get to it. Hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. That's why I doubt when people tell me, oh yeah, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. And then you see them in sin and not caring about it. Like, they don't care. It's not me judging them. It's just me saying, I am seeing your words here that you've said, and I'm just looking at your life. The facts, just watching what you do. And I'm saying, those can't live together. Because they can't. You will hate evil. If you're in Christ, and if you have a healthy fear of the Lord. How could you want to walk? I mean, how could you want to walk in evil and also look at the cross? Really? I think sin is fun and cute. Thanks, Jesus, for bleeding and dying and taking the wrath of God for me. You rock. I'm going to keep doing this stuff. Can't wait to see you in heaven. That doesn't work. And I'm not talking about occasionally sinning and repenting. I'm talking about sinning and liking it. That's what I'm talking about, so don't misunderstand. Proverbs 16:6, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. If you're like, yes, Cohen, I'm feeling you, I sin and I repent, and I sin and I repent, I keep falling into this sin, it's got a grip on me. How do I overcome it? Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. You need more fear of the Lord then. Well, how do I get it? That was our first point, the Word. Just reading the Bible? Yeah, reading it and believing it and reading it again and again and again and again. Think of your favorite movie or your favorite song. Did you learn it? Did you know everything about it the very first time you saw it or heard it or watched it or whatever? No. It's your favorite, so you watch it again and again. It's your favorite, so you listen to it again and again. When this becomes your favorite, you'll be in it again and again and again. And light naturally pushes out darkness, right? So be in the Word, read it, believe it, obey it, talk it, memorize it, saturate yourself with it. It will push evil out. It will. And that should encourage you. Because I'm telling you how to do it. Not just telling you you shouldn't do it, but giving you something to help you do it. So those three things, the fear of the Lord is connected to the Word of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is connected to contentment, which we all need. And the fear of the Lord is connected to turning away from evil. And don't you see Jesus in all these? Don't you see Jesus in all these? The Word of the Lord, He was the Word. And remember how He fought the devil? It's written. It's written. It's written. Contentment. He was the most contented person on earth. Did you see Him running around chasing stuff? Oh, hey, let's go after this today, guys. Let's go after this today. No, He was content to obey the will of the Father. In Samaria, He told them, no, you go on. I have food to eat you know not of. His food was the will of the Father. He was content with it. and then, of course, turning away from evil. He was tempted in every way, as we are, yet without sin. That's awesome. And so we see Jesus in all of this, and we'll be more like Jesus the more fear of the Lord we have. So store it up, walk in it, and you'll have victory. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your word is living, it's true, it's powerful, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And I pray that you would help us to obey it, love it, wield it against evil, use it to protect us, help us be contented in our marriages, or maybe even in our singleness, if that's what you have for us, Lord. Help us to be content in your will. We love you. In Christ's name.